Kat McKenna.
Hey.
Has worked in the UK publishing industry for almost 15 years, specializing in children's and teen YA marketing and brand strategy. Kate now delivers exciting and audience-driven marketing campaigns to most of the major publishers as a freelancer, working on brands including World Book Day, Jacqueline Wilson, Super Tato, and more. As an early innovator of digital and social media in the industry, Kat continues to drive the latest trends in children's and teen book marketing. Welcome to the Bibliophile.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I learned about you from an article in The Guardian from last June, written by Alison Flood. And the way that article kicks off is young TikTok users are sharing their passion for books with millions, bringing titles they love to life online and reshaping the publishing world, all in under a minute. So how do they share their passion then?
Well, it's very interesting. And as you kindly said in that lovely introduction, I have worked in teen publishing as a real expertise of mine for nearly 15 years, which is crazy. And have always seen that young people have got a real propensity to want to talk about the things that they love, whether they be books, whether they be films, whether it's whatever it is, they always are some of the most vocal audience and very specialist actually as a marketer. It's, you know, I think it's quite a specialism to understand how teens are thinking, because they don't often know how they're thinking themselves. So TikTok is such an interesting one, because over the years we've seen this happen across lots of platforms. Books aren't always the center of attention. Interestingly, it's often quite hard to get teens to be excited about books, because there's so many other things, increasingly more things for them to be distracted by, and, you know, often seen much more interesting things, such as YouTube in the last sort of, you know, 5 to 10 years. On TikTok, what they're doing essentially, and I can't stress enough how amazing that community is on there. They call it BookTok. It's quite a simple construction of TikTok communities. It's always something talk, but BookTok has just sort of been in its own little part of TikTok, really. And the way that they are, I think it can be anything from talking about this book that they read for, as you say, up to 60 seconds, which is the length of a TikTok at the moment. I think they're expanding it soon. It could be pulling together a load of visuals that almost acts as a trailer for a book, which I think is one of the most innovative things that young people have been doing on there, because again, it brings what could be seemingly boring pages on a, you know, words on a page to life for these young, very visual people. They are often categorizing books in really specific ways, which I think we can talk about a little bit more in detail down the line. Essentially, they're just screaming and shouting and crying over books in really specific
ways. They're emoting.
Yeah, they are emoting hard, and everyone's loving it, including us.
Who owns TikTok?
Do you know what? I actually don't know. It's not Elon Musk yet. I don't know the answer to that question.
I know Trump was going on about how it was Chinese, I think.
He was. Trump says a lot of things. I believe there is some sort of accuracy to that. At the moment, I believe it's independent in the way that it's not owned yet by Facebook, or, you know, no one, or Google haven't come along and swept it up. I assume it will only be a matter of time, but at the moment it seems to be acting quite independently. And I also have, as a marketer, have actually had a lot of trouble getting in touch with the guys at TikTok. Very keen to speak to them.
Yes.
But my understanding is they are letting the platform do what it does, much in the way that places like YouTube do, actually. They kind of don't seem to be taking a huge amount of directive responsibility or input into what's on there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that and put that in the notes to this, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I'm going to Google it as well. I should have done that before we thought.
Okay. Okay, so the article, the Guardian article, then looks at some specific examples. There's Kate Wilson, who posted in August 2020 a series of quotes from books she'd read, quote, that say I love you without actually saying I love you, with a melancholy soundtrack. Wilson holds up copies of the books with quotes superimposed over them. You know, it's funny, when I saw these examples that you sent me, and I'll put them in the book notes, I just thought of Rupi Kaur, the poet, you know, the Instagram poet.
Yeah.
I don't think they're particularly good, but then again, you know, I'm an old white male, but boy, do they ever hit. These are poems that are, you know, almost overly sentimental and, but hit some kind of chord, some kind of need.
I think that's right. And I think what TikTok does really well, all the users creating content on there, and actually your online poets, people like Rupi Kaur, people like Brian Bilston, who is another amazing poet who has taken to the very visual world, more so Instagram, I would say, for this kind of poetry thing. It's using this kind of human instinct online to want to share something very, it's almost like a protein shot of feeling. Very strong, very kind of, whoa, here I am. But your immediate instinct is that it makes you feel something, as you say, and then you want to share that with your friends and your followers. And it's I don't know about how much you use social media, but I use it a lot, being as it's my job. And it's almost really difficult to explain what happens in your brain at that time. It's very instinctive. Mm-hmm. It's very like, oh, this is cool. This has impacted me. Must share it to my Instagram stories so that the world see it. But you don't. You know, we're not influencing people as, you know, professionals do, but we want to share it. And I think TikTok is the best of that. And it kind of takes the best of a lot of platforms over the years. You know, you can really see how it is a product of, you know, where YouTube started with long form video, and that had its home. And then Instagram gave you something much shorter and snappier. Our attention spans are getting lower and lower every year. We know that's true. We know that we're,
which is ironic, seeing as they're pushing books.
Well, and this is a really interesting thing, because what I was going to come on to say was, you know, YouTube was a long form video and still is a long form platform, and we were watching 45 minute vlogs of people that, you know, we don't know. And Instagram was saying, oh, you don't need to pay that much attention. It's, you know, just look at this really short, you know, this one image. I think what TikTok does remarkably well is it serves you short content, but it keeps you there for hours. So it's almost the best of both worlds. And I think
why does it keep you there for hours?
Because the algorithm is so good that it just knows what you want to see. So I don't know how familiar you or your audience are with TikTok, but essentially you open it up and it serves you with a video straight away. And I found that really annoying the first time I opened it. Like, oh, I don't want to be overwhelmed by, you know, content the second that I open an app. That's gone now. And essentially, you know, you can just scroll through, making a scrolling motion, and go hop from video to video to video. And, you know, really doesn't ask you to be reliant on search as a function of that app. Really, you can. But the best way I have browsed it is just by scrolling through. And the more you use it, the more sophisticated it is in terms of knowing exactly what you want to see. And I think that's probably the most impressive thing about it. I mean, I could be on there for 2-3 hours at a time, just looking at book videos, cat videos, Taylor Swift videos. It knows me so well now. Some people would say that's slightly scary, but I think that your point about why books then is, I just think that I think that teens today and young people have a lot of feelings. They are very much looking, I think, for genuine connection.
Yes. Well, aren't we all?
We all are. I think that, you know, I think that social media has gone through a lot of phases. And I think the first the first generation who I think you would say would be generation Gen Z, who had social media from a young age, are probably the most that will suffer at the hands of it, because it was a little bit harder to kind of, what's the word, to I guess navigate through it safely. Now, this new gen, who we call Gen Alpha, who are activists, they know what they want reality, they want authenticity, and TikTok offers this complete authenticity at the moment, in my opinion. And I think just like these kids who are just sitting there and they're finding a book that they love and they're going on their phones and they're telling you how much they love it, and you're watching them, like a real trend on TikTok that in the book world that has existed, I'd say, since it became popular, is books that make you cry.
Yes, yes. I was going to say cry, and then obviously love is a big one too, like heartbreak and
feels. We would call that feels in the, yes, in the scene. Okay. And I think because that's so authentic and so real, and you know, we both love books, and you know how it feels when you finish a book that you love and how desperately you want to tell people about that. Times that by 1,000,000%, because you're a teenager and you love things harder than anyone does. I think the realness of going onto a platform and just like crying, like ugly crying over a book, really connects to young people who might not have considered reading as a thing they would want to do. And as a marketer, that feeling is something that, you know, I've wanted to bottle up for 15 years.
Yes, but the problem is, I think, though, is at some point the marketers, the publishers get in and they're basically going to pay you to cry. So how authentic is that?
Well, I would challenge that. In previous times, the approach to marketing on social media platforms has been to get in touch with these influencers, pay them and say, you know, we know you love books, can you talk about our book? And they say yes. I feel at this present time that TikTok is currently untouched for the most part by that. And my recommendation that I am making to every publisher, marketer that asks me about this is like, leave well alone and work out how to make the most of the organic buzz that your book is having.
Organic quickly becomes sort of crowded and everyone's doing it, and it becomes very difficult to weed out the genuine from the.
I think you're absolutely right in every other instance, but there's something very special about the TikTok community, because what I would say to you is that never in my whole career have I seen a platform be able to sell as many books organically as TikTok. They both.
How do you make that direct connection?
Because you can, well, because what started happening, so every week publishers will see what you call TCM, so it's essentially the book chart with sales numbers. What started happening was all these books that were what we would call backlist, so books that aren't new, were suddenly selling thousands of copies. So They Both Die at the End by Adam Silvera is a very good example. That book is, I think, 5 years old and is very, very good and is a book that makes you cry. Has a very easy pitch, I think. I think the title really helps. But that book was selling 4,000 copies a week, every week, for no reason. And so you start going, wait a minute. And you know, obviously they connect the dots to TikTok, and then, you know, everything starts to have this TikTok.
How do they connect the dot?
Because you see the sales and you know that nothing else is going on. Because you know, publishers... I think, I can't speak for every publisher, but you don't spend your time promoting older books. You might do a post about it on your Instagram, but you know that wouldn't sell. You'd hope, you wish that it would. Right. So I think that this phenomena of suddenly, and you know, again, I've worked on YA, young adult books, for many years, and really understand the trends. And the trend is normally a film that comes out. So John Green, The Hunger Games, Twilight, all of those things did really incredibly well because of the films. And then typically off the back of that, you'll get a trend that, you know, everyone will then start doing every werewolf book, every, you know, I've worked on Fallen Angel books, werewolf books, vampire books, you know, all around that Twilight period. And they will do well as well. But it's like incredibly uncommon that some book out of the blue would just start picking up numbers for no reason. So then you go online and you go, oh, TikTok, and then you can see, you know, the evidence is right there. So it's very much that that is driving the sales. And my feeling instinctively is to not barrel in there as a marketer and try to, you know, pay these people to talk about things, because actually what they're doing, the reason the things are selling is because they're genuinely promoting incredible books that they love, and then everyone else is reading it.
Well, it looks genuine at this point.
If you'll allow me to go on a slight tangent, which is TikTok related, the best comparison I can make to this is beauty products. So famously, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok is very good at selling a foundation or a lipstick or a beauty brand. So like at the height of YouTube, when Zoella was, you know, online in her bedroom, millions of subscribers, and she would say, I bought this Benefit lipstick. And we would all go and buy it because Zoella said it was good. Now that's 100% happening on TikTok too. People are like, look at this crazy foundation that covers up everything on my face. But it's working with books now as well. So people are taking an influencer at their face value that this book. So to continue on that tangent, I think you might have 5 or 6 beauty products that would be selling. And now we have 6, 7, 8 books that are selling. And it's really not many more than that. It seems to go in these waves of, so I think it's sort of, books have always been a product and they've always been there to buy, but I don't think people have always felt that that was the way that they wanted to spend their limited allowance. And now they've got these people saying, go and buy a blusher, but also this book made me cry till I was sick. And then they're like, oh, I'll go and pick that up too. And that is just, it's a phenomena that is, yeah, I personally don't think we should be wading in there and trying too hard to make our.
You'll choke the golden goose then.
Yeah, like if you need to be, as a publisher, you need to be on TikTok, you need to see when your book starts to pick up, and then you need to make the most of it that way. And I think you can do a lot more. You could sell 4,000 copies a week, or you could sell 20,000 copies a week, you know, and that's,
how do you go from there then? How do you make that jump?
Well, so you would, I mean, 20,000 is a number I pulled out of the dark. Again, we all wish we could sell 20,000
copies. Yes.
But it's about, so like my expertise is in audience marketing, and it's about knowing when you, I suppose, like, you know, book budgets are never huge. So you've always got, certainly not in children's publishing. So you always have to be quite, I guess, calculated and kind of considered about how you're going to spend your budget. And I found over the years that going out to every single person doesn't work across a limited budget, but identifying that one audience and telling them about it.
You don't make them. You try and encourage people to make them, right? You said that it goes, you know, it might go from 4,000 to 20,000. So you're a publisher, you start seeing it, your numbers going up. Do you do anything? Like, what do you do?
So what I'm saying is, so if you have an audience, a captive audience on TikTok that are already making waves about your book, you then say, what's the next level of that audience? How can we take this smaller audience and take what they are enjoying about it and broaden it out? So rather than say, I'm going to pull more money into TikTok where it's already working, you would then say, oh no, we've got some noise here. Where else can we put our budget? You know, where else can we spend money to, I'm being really transparent with you, to make more people hear about it? Because once you've got a little bit of buzz, you can turn that into more buzz.
So what would you do? Like, what would you do then? Where would you spend it?
Oh, I mean, it depends on the book, but in YA terms, you might do more digital advertising and know that you've kind of got a bit of an audience there, but you might start talking to people on Snapchat instead, or Instagram, or, you know, you can do all kinds of very clever, very scary digital marketing these days, but we all see it follow us around, and, you know, you've got to be mindful that people don't want to be annoyed. But like my general rule as a marketer is the rule of three, which is that if you see something three times, you're much more inclined to buy it. So you're going to see it on TikTok because people are going to talk about it. So then why do you need to advertise there is my argument. And I would never have said that about any other platform, you know, a couple of years ago. But I truly think the noise on TikTok is enough that you then want to nurture that noise in other platforms. You could also try and nurture it in bookshops and, you know, try and work closely with booksellers. And
do you promote the fact that it's doing well on TikTok? Like, do you just to say to booksellers, hey, this is really hot on?
I think if you walked into any bookshop in any part of the Western world now, you would see a table that has the header, TikTok made me buy it. On Amazon, every YA book that has had a snifter of TikTok will have a thing saying TikTok made me buy it. And it's really interesting. And I think this is something that I feel is becoming overused already.
Yes.
Because people are like, oh, someone did a post on TikTok. Let's quickly put, you know, and I think publishers are trying really hard to work out how to maximize this now. I mean, publishers are often slower than the trends. So which is what I said to you when we got onto this call. I'm suddenly getting loads of emails from people a year after I did that Guardian interview.
Yes.
And they've all gone, oh, TikTok. Yes, we've learned a new word. How do we sell books by it? And it's something that I'm still, you know, I said again to you earlier, like I'm still trying to work it out too. It's a very new, young platform. It's very uncharted by cynical marketers at this point. Publishers are just trying to figure out how they can be on TikTok as publishers.
They're using a lot of, you know, it's not that you're reinventing the wheel necessarily. You're just trying to adapt it to this new technology. So, for example, this one TikToker, book talker, I love this. She takes her these three beautiful quotes. You have been the last dream of my soul. That's from Tale of Two Cities. Whatever our souls are made of, and whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same. From heights, every atom of your flesh is as dear to me as my own. That's Jane. Now, these are, as you say, this is backlist here, but that's what we do. Like, I know that's exactly what I do when I read a book. I look for this stuff and revel in it, and I like to share it because I want other people to get the same enjoyment out of these quotes that I do.
Exactly. It's exactly that. It's, you know, it's sort of almost like us mega book nerds who have been doing this for years. And we used to, you know, I used to write quotes on, you know, my notebook and fill them up with book quotes and song lyrics. And if I had an outlet to do that and think that I was sharing it with other people online, I would have done that as a young person. And if I had time to do it now, I probably would. But it's, you know, it's a certainly social media and posting on there, and certainly with TikTok, it's a task for those who have lots of time to commit to it, or right. who feel that they want to. Because this is the other thing about young people, and I love working alongside young people and speaking to them as a marketer, because they're so excited and passionate about things, and TikTok is really the best way for that expression to come out, I think. And normally I think book people have been kind of quiet and, you know, shy. I think, you know, there's a lot of anxiety in young people, and reading can often be a real home and sense of comfort for them. But for them to be able to be on TikTok, and also to be able to be faceless on TikTok, I don't know if you noticed that as well, but you don't have to have your face on. You know, a lot of this book stuff is just showing the books or your hands, or using this kind of trendy automated voice thing that TikTok does a lot. So you can be quite anonymous on there, I think. And I wonder if that is something, I'm just thinking this now as I'm saying it, if that appeals to young people as well. You can be a book nerd, you don't have to show your face.
Young women, we should add.
Certainly, for the most part, there's a few young men doing it, but it is, as with all YA or book trends in the young adult sphere, it's often women for whatever reason.
Well, I don't know if it was you that called it wholesome or someone else in the article. Wholesome, that's how it was described, wholesome.
It is wholesome. I can't remember if it was me either, but it is It certainly is wholesome, and it's, as I say, it's authentic and it's real, and it's something that, again, like another expertise of mine is fandom, and you know, the nature of being a super fan and how that makes people feel. And I think TikTok has become a really accessible way of fan expression, and now everyone else is getting into it as well. It's really exciting. It really excites me. I mean, I don't know if you have heard of Heartstopper, which came out. So Heartstopper is a graphic novel series by an amazing young British author called Alice Oseman, and that has been a series that's been on the underground fandom for years, and Netflix have just released a series of it. I think it's like an 8-part series that came out this weekend, and the noise around it, oh my goodness, it is so exciting. I watched it all in one go. It's absolutely incredible. I can't recommend it enough. I won't be the only
for one. Adults as well as kids.
Oh yeah, it's just wonderful. It's just this affirming, you know, love story of two young gay teenage boys in the UK.
Oh yes, I did see something on that.
And again, I mean Alice has had her own, you know, fandom for years, because these books aren't new. Netflix obviously helps it to take over a certain, you know, to the next level. But I think this online noise and this ability that these young people have on TikTok now to just go on there and be like, you know, it's just pushed it over the line. And, you know, she's going to be a number one bestseller next week. And is this week, in fact, but more so next week. And it's so exciting to see those things where, you know, that there's this genuine fan base there.
And especially when the content is good.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, of course. And this is the other thing. Everything is just, there's such good quality coming out of the books that these people love. You know, it's they're all brilliant books, and they're varied. And again, I've got to give a shout out to you, what you say, UKYA, you know, UK young adult books, because they don't always break through into the global sphere in the same way that, as I say, things like Twilight and John Green have done. But it's just such a good example of, you know, how these kind of really passionate young people can love something, you know, and then they love it enough so that we get to see it, and then we get to love it, you know.
Yes. And well, again, it's word of mouth that's delivered in interesting new ways. It's also what I like is that it's creative, and I'm not exactly sure how they make these things. How do they make them?
It's hard work. And this is the thing about, I think, any kind of digital platform and maintaining it and being an influencer. You know, I think it's become quite a throwaway job title. And some of it is, don't get me wrong, like some of it's trash. And, you know, there are people doing not very much and earning lots of money. But actually, to create really good content is hard. And with TikTok, I mean, I don't make TikToks because I don't have time, but you know, it's a case of filming. And I do believe the app gives you a very easy way to kind of cut together your clips and, you know, to put things on top of it. And their sound bank is enormous, I believe, and has become another part of the platform that I think is really fascinating, that sounds have become a trend on there too. So it's not just hashtags. It's not just what you're talking about. It's the sound that you associate it with.
It's like a jingle almost, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And there's certain songs that I'm sure, you know, if you were to speak to people in the music industry, I'm sure they'd be going, God, that Pharrell song is just, you know, is doing numbers because of TikTok. It is fascinating. And it's now moved into this thing where you get these TikTokers who might say something funny, and then people will like lift that sound and then apply it to whatever community they're part of. And I think that's quite interesting as well. But it also means that people can play on other trends. So like when Taylor, this is such a TikToky thing to say, when Taylor Swift re-released her Red album and released a 10-minute version of a very old song that caught fire and everyone suddenly started listening to, then I think people were like, oh, we can attribute this sound on TikTok because people are excited by that song. And if I can get them searching for that, they might see my TikTok. So there's all kinds of search function that can kind of boost you into you know, getting more views and more awareness. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, again, I really like this idea that the creators, you know, when they create the content and then they post it, I think you can be proud of having created. It's really put on earth to create. And this is a way of doing that.
And if you're a person or a young person who is inclined towards creativity, that TikTok also rewards quantity as well. So you could be posting 3 times a day, these really creative and really well thought out.
Yeah.
If you've read 100 books, you could find 3 quotes from every book that you love and put a soundtrack to it and share it with the world and put it out. And, you know, you'd be rewarded by that. And I think the other thing that's interesting is TikTok is not yet, it's not yet kind of rewarding in a monetary way. So actually, you can't make a lot of money from doing TikTok. So I don't think anyone's going in there thinking, I'll be rich. They're thinking, I just love John Green and I want to talk about it. I agree.
They are getting rich on Instagram though, aren't they?
I believe so. I believe there is a hunger to be, and I think a lot of that is through ads now. It's become very popular, hasn't it, to when you start to get a certain following to be paid to advertise, as you said earlier. And you can make a decent amount of money with not a big following. And I think some very clever person made micro influencers a thing, which means you've got, you know, at most probably 20K followers, and you can make a good bit of money from being a micro influencer as well. But I think that the young community, these alpha gen, these activists, these people who, you know, it's fascinating, these young people grow up knowing that brands are brands and knowing that they're being marketed to. And that is something that I would say is very unique to this new generation, because they've seen it online, right, every single day of their young lives. So they don't mind that they're being advertised to, but I think they are empowered to choose not to engage with it. And I think that's why a lot of younger people are not interested in Instagram anymore, because it's become an advertising service. And I think they see through that. Not entirely. I think there are still people, you know, who are very much young teens influenced by their favorite teen Instagrammer. But I think TikTok gives me a lot of faith in the young generation, because I think actually they're saying, we don't mind if you tell us what we should love, but we might not listen to you. We might listen to our TikTok friends instead, or this person on TikTok who's telling me stuff, and I know they're not profiting from it.
Well, so many of these people on Instagram, that's all they give a shit about is money. They just want to get an audience so they can make money. It's kind of pathetic. And some of the stuff, like a lot of the stuff up there, is just ridiculous. It's people's faces or moving their arms to music. It's like there's no talent.
I think to offer a slightly more generous perception of it, you know, and a lot of people would hold your view absolutely. Yeah. To be more empathetic to that young generation, I think that there was a period of time when it was seen as very aspirational to be an influencer, because it was quite new. And then nobody actually knows what that is. And I think it's de-skilled those young people who have their whole job is influencing. And then I think from what I can see, and as a person who does follow, you know, a lot of these original YouTubers and influencers, I think they just are directionless, and I don't think they know how to do anything else. And so they have to take ads because that's how they make their money. And it is sad because they don't have a skill. And what is, I'm sure they would have had a skill if they hadn't been that very young generation of, I think being an influencer is aspirational.
Yes.
And I think that we've moved on from a culture where, like, I don't think this next generation think to be an influencer is aspirational.
I see a lot of, you know, I want to be famous. I just want to be famous. Maybe that's changing. Maybe this generation isn't quite like that.
I hope so. I mean, that's, I continue to have faith in young people. And I think that.
Yes, I don't want to come across like I don't have.
I think unfortunately, there's a lie that has been sold that being an influencer is a very gratifying and, you know, monetarily gratifying, but also emotionally gratifying thing to do. And I think that's not the case. And I think that And I'm thinking of these sort of 20, young 20 something year old influencers who all, to me, the ones I see, they seem very lost. And yes. And also what is really interesting, and this is a whole other conversation, is, you know, that cancel culture, I'm using like quotey fingers, is so much more prevalent now. So if you're an influencer now, you're not only probably feeling slightly disenchanted by what you're doing, but you're also, people are waiting for you to do something wrong. And there are
yes.
horrible forums online who are looking for the thing that you've done wrong. So I think that, yeah, I see it. So this Gen Alpha, who I'm saying are like sort of 8, 9, 10 years old now, I think they'll be having a way with all of that and saying, no, we don't want.
Bringing it back to publishing, one of the things, of course, is that, you know, if you see this lovely sort of emotional, inspiring music, images, quotes, it is, I guess, creating more readers.
Yes, that's right? And that's the sweet spot. That's what every publisher wants, every person.
Yes.
Every person in their heart wants, every book lover wants people to love books. But, you know, you almost don't need to market to the people who love books because
no,
they love books. What we want is for people to discover reading. And I spent the last 2 years working on World Book Day as a campaign, and there are 400,000 children in the UK still who don't own a book of their own, which is a very astonishing and sad statistic. And that's not just, that's obviously not teenagers, that's every, you know, child age group. But you know, we want people to discover reading and books because it's good for people to read. It's proven to create success in the future. We know it's good for people's mental health. I think this is another thing that's very interesting, is that young people are very aware of their mental health and their needs and their identity. And, you know, a pastime such as reading, we know, is great for anxiety and your mental health. And I think that's something that people are discovering. But yeah, it's definitely creating new readers. And I hope that we can keep them and get them to be discovering more books. But I the good thing about TikTok, again, it being so prolific, is that there's people talking about, you know, different books on there every day, if you are so inclined.
Plus the smell of books. I love that. Yeah.
Yes. Well, isn't that funny? So this is a TikTok that, actually, I will be very transparent. A friend of mine runs a Hotkey Books in the UK. She used to work, not for me, but, you know, she used to work under me. And now she is running a TikTok page. Her name's Emma, for Hotkey Books in the UK, and does these incredible little TikToks about, why does a book smell like this? Here's something interesting. Yes. It is interesting, isn't it? Like, you're like, I didn't know I wanted to know this, but I did want to know it. I'll give it a like. And yeah,
yes,
there's some great stuff in there. She also talks a lot about how to get in publishing and different jobs in publishing, and kind of demystifies some of those interesting things that book fans are interested in. So like, why did you change the cover halfway through my favorite series? I know there's, like, she's done stuff on that.
Yeah. Well, you know what it's doing? First of all, it's using popular music. It's capitalizing on the work that the dust jacket designers have done. The publishers invested that because they that's exactly what they want. They want the visual to attention and interest. There was also one you sent me about great first lines. And again, that's what you do when you go to a bookstore. You go in and you look at the book and you read the first page.
And imagine if you don't feel like you belong in a bookshop, because bookshops are quite intimidating places if you're not a booky person. It's certainly something over here that I don't think that every young person wants to walk into a Waterstones. I think it feels quite middle class, and book reading could be seen as quite elitist in some ways. If you don't know what book you want to read, where do you start? And actually, Amazon's not very good at, I mean, Amazon is obviously a dirty word in some circles in the book community, but it does sell books and it does work, but that's impossible to browse. So if you have someone online telling you these first lines and they grip you and you're like, I'm going to go and buy that. And actually, one of my friends, she wasn't much of a reader until 50 Shades of Grey came out. I mean, this is the classic word of mouth marketing all over again. She read 50 Shades of Grey because everyone read 50 Shades of Grey. She read 50 Shades of Grey and then she said to me, Kat, you work in books. What should I read next? I don't know what's out. And I was like, right, let me direct you to all the books that are nothing like 50 Shades of Grey, yeah. Make you a permanent reader, you know, and read The Time Traveler's Wife, go and read, you know, those like absolute like bangers that you just know someone's gonna love. So
right
I think TikTok offers that kind of opportunity to those people who might not be confident enough to go into a bookshop, which probably feels a very foreign concept to those of us who are.
One of the things I like too is that, you know, okay, these are very cool images and music, etc., and people who are cool are talking about it. So there's this, I want to be cool as well. I want to be part of the zeitgeist. I better read the book that everyone's talking about, otherwise I'm not going to be cool.
And books have never been cool. This is what I'm so excited about with TikTok is it's made people think books are cool, and books are books are cool. I obviously think that, but no young person, you know, we've never been able to get to that magical thing of people being like, yes, books are cool. And I think TikTok made books very cool in this. And as you say, this visual trick of almost creating trailers for books. And I mean, I work on a series called The Inheritance Games, which has done incredibly well on TikTok without much effort from me, I should say. Like, we've just, you know, been able to use that as a really helpful tool. But, you know, what we would say as a publisher is The Inheritance Games is like Succession meets Riverdale meets Gossip Girl. Like, that's what we would say. But for some clever young person to go online and actually put together clips that show someone that and then put a Billie Eilish song over the top of it that's from a James Bond song, that helps a young person who might just be like, oh, obviously this book is not like Gossip Girl, I'm just gonna go and watch Gossip Girl. They can see that maybe this book is like that, and they can visualize it, and then they think, right, I'll go and give it a read because someone has opened my brain to a new way of thinking. And again, this is what I was talking about at the beginning, that, you know, publishers are fighting with so many other stimuli, especially with young people who could watch a film or they could go on YouTube or they could get in, they're into gaming. They've got so much more visual stimulation around them that it's just louder than books are. You know, it just speaks to them more immediately. So I think if young people are turning to TikTok and giving books the space that they deserve, then that is very exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of a visceral reaction, isn't it? This is what they're conveying rather than any sort of written review. The other thing, too, is that I guess what kids are looking for, many of them, is some kind of catharsis in what they read. So, again, it's capturing all of that.
And as well, I think the pandemic has been hugely, not influential, that's an awful word to use. I think a pandemic has created a consequence where young people are inside and alone and sad and anxious. I mean, we all certainly were. So I think TikTokers and BookTok and books have given them this outlet for that. And as you say, the catharsis of, and I think that's why books that make you cry has been such a big trend, because, you know, books do make people cry and books have made me cry for many years. But I think some people might not think that was an outlet they could use, and maybe a book, I keep having that quiet space and, as you say, that mental health time with a book and seeing someone tell you that that's something that's going to make you feel calmer and happier. I think that's probably been part of it too. And obviously we were all stuck at home and had nothing to do, so I think we were on our phones more. So I think TikTok kind of came along at a time where we all needed it, even if we didn't know we needed it. So many Netflix shows you can watch before you're ready to move on to something less taxing.
Yes, reading a book is more difficult than watching a TV series, but it ultimately is way more rewarding.
And when you're really into a book, it's like there's another thing on TikTok that is books I've read that I didn't even make me feel like I was reading. And we all know that feeling. That's that when cool. you get really into a book, you don't even, your brain goes to this really interesting space where you're not even you don't feel like you're reading at all. And as I'm sure you're similar to me, I've read for such a long time, I'm a really quick reader, So I can sit there and, you know, read a book in 4 hours. If I really love it, I don't even see those 4 hours go by. And that was another interesting thing I think about lockdown as well, is we're all so looking for ways to move time along quite quickly. I was. So I confess, I started playing The Sims because I was like, what makes time go fast? I remember when I was 16 and I used to get shouted at for playing The Sims, I'm going to do it again. But reading has a similar kind of hypnosis to it, that it kind of, you can just forget that you were even reading. And I think that's another gift. If you'll allow me to just diverge on discoverability, actually, another thing that I haven't talked about with TikTok is what they call the For You page. So when you load TikTok, it loads up your For You page, and there's a hashtag called FYP that any user can use, and it puts things on this For You page. So as I was talking about the algorithm, the For You page generally is based on your search history, your algorithms, the things you've liked, the things you've watched. So essentially, you could just sit on your For You page for hours and never have to lift a finger, you know, to find content. But what I think that's done for books is that, you know, people sadly probably weren't searching for book content online, but because of this gift of this hashtag For You page FYP, you know, that meant, I think, that some book stuff got highlighted to people who might not have naturally been looking for book content. So if you are not a reader, but you're browsing through and you get served this kind of piece of content that looks, as we've said, for all intents and purposes, like it could be a film or something very visual, that could get you to think, I'm interested in what I've seen, and maybe I'll look at the BookTok hashtag and see what else is out there. So it's got a very unique discoverability in that sense that I think other platforms aren't sophisticated enough to have. My general thing is just I'm really interested to see where it goes. And I think we are at an infancy of this phenomena. And I think there's so much more. I would encourage people to use TikTok because it's amazing. And you can find such interesting people and content and recommendations and experiences on there. It doesn't need any more promotion than it's already getting. But I think if you are a person who naturally thinks you wouldn't enjoy it, I would say I think you'd find something on there that you would. But I think that's enough. That's it for now. I'm just so pleased that books are cool and getting some recognition, you know, beyond the work that we do, you know, to market them.
Well, let's hope that commerce doesn't wreck it.
Let's hope. I think we've got a year yet, hopefully, of quite pure content, fingers crossed. And the more that we as publishers, marketers, book lovers, the more we can kind of, I think, support this trend of young people coming to books, then that can only be good for all of us in the community.
That's great. Well, I'm so glad we got to spend more than 30 seconds to talk.
this is definitely long form.
So, Kat McKenna, maybe you could do the extra. What you do, how people get a hold of you, if you want them to.
Yes. So I am on where all good people are on social media. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Kat McKenna _. You can find me at katmckenna.com, and you can email me at kat@katmckenna.com. It's all very easy. And I'm always around. And love helping people with their social media and marketing. Yeah.
Very good, Kat. Thank you so much. It was very, very informative.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it.